This morning, we're beginning a new sermon series as we step into this new year. I'll be preaching through Revelation. That's the last book of the Bible. I'll be preaching through Revelation from chapters 1 to chapter 5. This series will take us through Easter when we'll look at the risen Lord Jesus Christ through the lens of this particular book. Now, a lot of preachers don't want to touch the book of Revelation because it's complicated and it's a little strange, so you can decide if we're brave or foolish, but we're going to do this together, and I think it will be a wonderful eye-opener for us in some different respects. I'm going to read Revelation 1, verses 1 to 3 this morning, and I'm actually going to read that text twice. I'm going to read it once and then give you kind of a big picture, why this book, what are we going to try to get out of it, and then I'm going to read it again and we'll dig more into our particular text for this morning. It's a short text, so I thought we could handle it twice. Hear the word of the Lord. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. This is the word of the Lord. So my family and I were on vacation last week, and we went out to Spokane, Washington, which is on the eastern side of the state, so more like Idaho than Seattle. And we went skiing on Mount Spokane one day while we were there. And I think Laura and I hadn't skied for 15 or 20 years probably, and our older two boys who we took along had never skied. And if you've ever been skiing, or even if you haven't, you probably could guess that there is a learning curve. There's all kinds of things that you have to figure out and how to balance and how to not balance, and you do this and you don't do that, and how do you keep from getting all twisted up, and you have to focus, you can't be looking over there because then you're going to run into something. All of this stuff, crisis after crisis, challenge after challenge, trouble after trouble, do this, don't do that, all this focus on the nitty-gritty. And it was honestly kind of exhausting. But then you could pause for a moment and you could look around and you could see, if the weather was clear, as it was for a little bit of the day, you could see the mountains around you. And they have these huge evergreens there. I think they're spruces that are maybe 60, 80, a few are probably 100 feet tall, and they were absolutely covered in snow. So you could look around and you could see hundreds and really thousands and thousands of these huge, beautiful snow-covered trees. And then a little later in the day, a snowstorm blew in, and so it wasn't quite white out, but visibility was really reduced, and it got really quiet, and so you were in this winter wonderland of white and green, amazing skiing, beautiful trees. What a world. Well, the book of Revelation intends to help us open our eyes to the beauty of God's supernatural work. Revelation is our prompt to pause for a moment, to look up, to look around, and to see the beauty of God's work, to see the wonder of this life and the wonder of how God is at work. One author that I read this week talked about Revelation as showing us gospel order in the midst of the world's chaos. And you know, we've been in a tough season. Here's the next thing. Manage that. Work through this conflict. Manage that task. How do we work through this together? How do we get consensus? How do we go there? How do we do this? How do we deal with ICE? How do we deal with COVID? Just all of these things. And so Revelation now, as we step into this new year and this new season, invites us to look up from the nitty-gritty and to wonder at who God is, to wonder at what He does for us, to wonder at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is the big reveal of Revelation in the whole Scripture, that in Jesus Christ, the Lord comes to us and He loves us and He cares for us. The last couple weeks around Christmas, we looked at the beginning of the Gospel of John. And in the beginning of the Gospel of John, John tells us that the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. And John also wrote the book of Revelation. And again here, he wants us to see Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and to hear the good news of Jesus Christ come to us, to hear the good news of Jesus Christ ascended and reigning over all things. And that's why we're gonna work through these first few chapters of the book of Revelation and think of them in terms of the big reveal. Not that we'll necessarily learn anything tremendously new, but that we will again see Jesus Christ come to us, ruling for us. So that's the big picture. Let's go back to this text now. We'll read it again, and then we'll work through the introduction to the book of Revelation as it shows itself to us in these first three verses. Again, hear the word of the Lord. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written, because the time is near. Again, this is the word of the Lord. So the title of this sermon is, what is this all about? What is this all about? And my point there is, what is the book of Revelation about? What's it for? This is a hard book to read. It's complicated. It's got lots of symbols and lots of imagery. And people really, really struggle to get a sense of what this book is about and how we're supposed to hear it. To help us get into that, I want to invite you to participate in a little thought experiment. Nothing too hard, but just a little thought experiment this morning. Let's say you go to the grocery store, and you forget your list. And so you text your roommate or your spouse or whoever you would text and say, hey, can you send me the grocery list? And instead of sending you the grocery list, they send you a text that says, hey, thank you so much for getting groceries. I really appreciate it. It's really great. You're so helpful. I really like that about you. That's wonderful. But it's not a grocery list. Or what if you text and they say, hey, you won't believe what I'm seeing at the grocery store. And what you're seeing is someone dressed up as Spider-Man jumping from shelf to shelf and getting away from the store employees who are chasing him. And you just got a video and it's hilarious. And this person texts back, yeah, whatever, just make sure you get the Oreos. It's Spider-Man at the grocery store. Don't you care? What about you have to buy a whole bunch of food for a work party, and you say you'll get reimbursed, but the receipt doesn't print out, and so you have to go to the worker and say, I need a receipt, or I'm out a couple hundred bucks, and they say, well, I'll just give you some coupons. I don't want coupons, I need a receipt. Get me the receipt. In order to communicate well, we need to understand what is being said to us, what the genre or what the type of literature is and what it intends to convey. And you know, sometimes we read things and we don't get what we expect. We're disappointed. And sometimes we read things and we get something better than what we expect. It's wonderful. You expect a grocery list and instead you get a love note, say. What a gift. Well, to really get the book of Revelation, we need to understand what the Lord is trying to say to us, what kind of book this is, what it intends to convey. Is this a guide to moral living? Is this a code to work through and somehow understand some mysteries about the future? Is it, well, what is it? What is the book of Revelation? And people debate that endlessly, but I think the book itself, the Word of God itself, tells us how to understand this book. And so we should listen to it on its own terms. And so for this first sermon on the book of Revelation, I want us to reflect on what Revelation tells us about itself. And in one way, what I'm going to say is nothing earth-shattering. It's probably not something you've not heard before. Sorry for the double negative there. But I am probably going to ask that most of us shift our default thinking about this book. I'm going to ask that we that we step into this message from the Lord in a little different way than you probably would naturally think of. So let's jump into that. This book opens by telling us that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. And I want you to note that this book does not begin by saying, this is the revelations of. This is not the revelations of. It's not plural, it's singular. And often we pluralize it when we talk about this book. We talk about, you know, the revelations. And we think of all the visions that are later in the book and all the crazy things about monsters and dragons and fires and plagues and angels and all kinds of weird stuff. And it's all there. It's all there. But the focus of the book is not on the revelations and look at all these crazy pictures. That's not it. And you might think that I'm making a big deal out of something fairly trivial, but it's significant that revelation here is singular. This is, again, the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is the title of this book, and that is the key message of this book, Jesus Christ. All the other stuff intends to point us to Jesus. And that little word of there, it actually has several layers of meaning. And I'm going to unpack three ways that we can understand the revelation of Jesus Christ. And my point here is not that you remember exactly what these different meanings are, but really that we focus on this being all about Jesus. So first, this book is a revelation about Jesus Christ. When we read through the book of Revelation, we should get to the end and not be like, man, that was a trip. We should be like, wow. Wow. Jesus. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the King of everything, the one who raised himself from the dead, the one who assures us that we will live forever. Wow. Jesus. That's what we need to get. That's what Revelation is about. And also, this is a book that comes from Jesus. It's a revelation of Jesus in the sense that it comes from him. There is a bit of a tendency, especially among people who are not as serious about the Bible, to talk about revelation. As you know, that Apostle John, he went out to the island of Patmos, and he found himself some good mushrooms. And this book is some crazy prophet high and going, woo, look at all that. Well, it's a funny picture, right? But that is absolutely not the source of the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation comes to us straight from God himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And then third, this book is revelation given to us by Jesus. This is, well, in this time after Christmas, maybe presents are still on our mind. This book is a present. It is a gift to you and to me from Jesus. And it's communicated through the Apostle John. It's communicated through us talking about it and reading it. But this is a gift from the Lord himself to encourage us in following him. And in the end, all these different layers, that revelation is about Jesus Christ, and it comes from Jesus Christ, and it's a gift given by means of Jesus Christ. Well, all of this really just serves the point that this is about Jesus. This is about the gospel, the good news that Jesus has come to us, and that Jesus reigns now and forever. And if you were going to summarize the whole message of the Bible, you could do worse than that. Jesus has come to save us. Jesus reigns now and forever. That is the foundation of our hope, and that is what we as a church have built ourselves on over the years, as the Lord has graciously built us. We've always been a church that's about the Word of God. And we want more and more to be a church that's about Jesus, and that's about not the Jesus of our imagination or our own creation, but but about the Jesus who reveals himself in this book, the Word of God, the living Word of God, come to us through the Scriptures. That is who we have been, that is who we are, that is who we always want to be, people of the Word. That is our identity. So we want to keep looking to Jesus and looking to his revelation. And that is what Revelation itself, the book, invites us to do in its very first words. Revelation's all about Jesus. But then this book also self-identifies as prophecy. It tells us this is a testimony and this is a prophecy. That's what this book is. But, and here's one of those places where I want to ask you to make a mental shift. This is not prophecy all about just giving predictions. This is prophecy, but it's not just giving predictions. I think we often don't have really the right idea about what prophecy is. We usually think of prophecy as predicting something, as saying, on this day, at this time, that will happen. And that's prophecy. And that's part of prophecy. I don't want you to throw that out, but take that and put it off in the background, because that's not the real point of prophecy. In the Bible, prophecy isn't really focused on helping us know the future. Rather, prophecy is focused on giving us a new perspective. In the Bible, prophecy is really about God speaking to us and showing us what he wants us to see. If you read through the prophets of the Old Testament, you do see some prediction. That's again, part of prophecy, but that's not really what they're all about. What they really are all about as prophets is the word of the Lord. And John here in the book of Revelation sees himself standing in line with those Old Testament prophets. And if you really want to understand this book, actually, what you need to do is go back and read the Old Testament, because John is soaked in the Old Testament, and this book is soaked in the Old Testament. So much so that at Calvin Seminary, the school I went to prepare to be a minister, they had the Old Testament professor teach the book of Revelation, because there are so many references here. This is the 66th and final book of the Bible, but it pulls from all the previous 65 to give us a picture of the whole thing. The message of prophecy, like the book of Revelation, is not see the future. Prophets are not fortune tellers. The message of the prophet is always, thus says the Lord. The key part of any prophecy is, this is the word of the Lord, and the Lord has spoken, and this is what he says. As we read through the book of Revelation, the primary thing is not, this is what the future is going to be. The future is not the focus. The focus is eternity. The focus is helping us look up to Jesus Christ, ascended and reigning over all things. And the focus is to look at where we are right now and to recognize that we are in the midst of God's work. And is it not wonderful and amazing that the Lord continues to work? And so we praise him as King of the universe, and we also trust him as our Lord and Savior. And so we come to verse 3 in our last stop in this sermon for today. Blessed are those who hear and take to heart this revelation. And that's where this book wants us to land. Look to Jesus, understand all these things about the Lord and his work, and rejoice in all of that. But then at the end of the day, recognize, blessed are those who hear this word from the Lord and take it to heart. The book of Revelation wants to show us an eternal heavenly perspective, and the book of Revelation wants to transform our lives right now. And these two realities, revelation and prophecy, should lead us to two responses. One is the response of obedience, of hearing what God has to say and responding to him as he guides us. And as we work through the first five chapters of the book of Revelation, there are specific messages to seven churches that all apply to us. And so when we hear those, we'll want to ask, how do we obey God's word heard through the message to those churches applied to us today? That's part of this. But another part of this, and maybe even the more important part, is that we should be comforted and we should be reassured. Life is hard. The last couple years have perhaps been an especially challenging season, but life is always hard. And if we do not look to Jesus, then we are without hope in this world. And so what we need to do again and again, what we will be doing in the weeks ahead again and again, will be looking to Jesus and repeating the good news and reminding each other that truly what we see in front of us, the hard times we have experienced, the challenges that we will face ahead, because there are always challenges, all of that is not the ultimate reality. The ultimate reality is that Jesus Christ has come and that Jesus Christ reigns now and forever. I want to wrap up with a couple illustrations, picking up from where we started and hopefully helping bring this home for us. First, notes. I opened by talking a little bit about some different kind of notes, different kind of texts you might send, and it's worth thinking about what kind of note Revelation is. What is Revelation ultimately? Well, to help us get there, I borrowed a little bit from my 6-year-old Ezra with his permission and with his instructions, actually. He told me how to do this next bit. But often before he goes to children's church, Ezra is 6, so he often goes to children's church. And in the evening service too, when he's here, he often draws in the bulletin. And sometimes it's tanks and things like that. But lately, as he's learned to write, he's taken to writing what he's called songs. This is our Christmas bulletin. And he told me he wrote a couple songs. I'm going to share those with you. I love God. God is good. I love God. You love God. And the third verse, my God is good, your God is good. This is, well, ultimately, it's a love note to the Lord. We need more of this in our lives. But what Revelation is ultimately is a love note to us. It's not just a list of commands. Live this way or else. It's not just, look at all those crazy things coming down the line. It's God saying over and over again, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And I will take care of you. And I am here and now with you. And I am eternally for you. That is the love note and the refrain and the note that Revelation keeps coming back to. God is great, and God is good, and God loves us. We could do worse as a way of summarizing the entire Bible. We could do worse than to say, God loves us, let us love the Lord. So there's that. But then second, and we'll wrap up with this. You know, out in Mount Spokane, as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, we went skiing, and the morning was really rough. We had a couple hours of just nastiness. The weather wasn't great. Laura and I were really rusty, so we weren't quite sure how to balance, and it just takes a while to get back into it. And we, as it turns out, are not great ski instructors, because there's all these things that you kind of learn and know how to do, but to tell somebody else how to do it in what order you tell them how to do is really hard. So there was a lot of falling down and a lot of frustration and a lot of, oh, you just do it this way. What do you mean I do it that way? Well, you just do it this way. We got to lunch and we went into the lodge and we sat for lunch and there was a certain amount of, we should just go home. This is too much. It doesn't end and it's not getting better. You ever feel like that these days? Just doesn't end It goes on and on, and what are we gonna do? But then after lunch, we went back out, and we made some adjustments. We got a little bit of help from a couple people who were more helpful at teaching, and, oh, you do it that way. Well, why didn't you tell me that before, Dad? But it finally clicked, and the boys go. And we get on the ski lifts, and we just slide right on down the hills. Not perfection, but it was fun. We got the skills locked in enough. The weather was good. It was wonderful. And then we could pause and we could look out and we could see the beauty of creation. And then we could slide down the hill and get back on the ski lift and go back up. And it was tremendous, just flying along in God's beautiful creation. That's where the book of Revelation is bringing us. Not so much looking at this world, because we're going to need a whole new mountain and a whole new heavens and a whole new earth before we can really get there. But Revelation wants us to catch that vision, to see how amazing God's work is, to be renewed and refreshed and to fly along to where the Lord intends to bring us. This is still a challenging time. But it's also the opportunity for us to step into a new season. So let's take a moment, and we'll take some more moments in the week ahead, but let's take a moment and pause and look up. Look up from the falls and the nitty-gritty and this and that challenge and reflect on how much God has done for us and the beauty and the wonder of His work. And to see how God is at work in us, and He doesn't bring us to perfection in this life, but to see how the Lord works to make us more and more able to follow Him. How more and more we're able to fly along and really enjoy life as it's supposed to be. Even in the hard times, God is with us. Even when we don't understand how the world is going, God is in charge. Revelation shows us this as it reveals Jesus Christ to us. God is good. He is with us. He is for us. So let us hear and take to heart this revelation of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your word. We are grateful that you have shown us Jesus. We are grateful that ever since the beginning of humanity, ever since Adam and Eve, you have been showing who you are in your grace and your love. Lord, we are grateful that you have worked with your people for thousands and thousands of years, and we are grateful most of all that you showed us Jesus in the flesh. Father, help us again to see Jesus. Help us to see through the Bible, to see your word become flesh and dwelling among us, living with us, living for us, dying for us, and rising again to give us new life. Father, we pray that today you bring us a deeper measure of Christ's new life. Father, if we have never stepped into being one of your people, then work in our hearts to draw us to you. And Lord, if our hearts are cold and we're weary, we pray that you send your Spirit to fan the flame of faith and hope and love. And Lord, if we are at a place where we can see Jesus clearly and where we can follow him with everything we've got, then we pray that you enable us to turn and to help others to see, to follow, to be renewed. Lord, help us to rejoice in you and in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen.